The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
But to get started, on the line is the Federal Senator, Sarah Henderson. Good morning.
Mitch, a very good morning to you.
Well, thanks for being on the program. Just first of all, where do we find you here and now? Because I see some Victorian MPs are in isolation ahead of Parliament sitting in a couple of weeks' time.
Well, yes, that's right. We were given the option of quarantining either at home or in Canberra, and I have elected to stay at home. I have actually been in quarantine for 2 weeks because I came into contact with a COVID-positive person, so I know what it's like. But look, we're all doing our bit, and that's what really matters, Mitch. We're all doing our bit to make sure that we can absolutely suppress the community transmission in Victoria, which, as we know, is now a very, very serious situation.
And then you'll be flying up to Canberra, will you, to join the sitting after the 2 weeks?
No, I'll be driving. I'll be heading up, and which I feel personally a bit more comfortable about, because I can sit in a little bubble in my car and know that there's no way that I can come into contact with anyone else. So that's what I'll be doing, and doing a few sit-ups and other exercises in the backyard in the meantime.
Quite a bit of talk about whether or not Parliament should sit online. Why can't you organise some sort of remote conferencing? Because to have Victorian MPs going through this 2 weeks of quarantine seems very onerous.
Well, it is, but we are actually working on a system whereby we might have a hybrid model like the UK. And while it's actually very straightforward to do things like, you know, perhaps a parliamentary speech coming in via one of the platforms, unlike a lot of other communications, we have to make sure that there is absolute integrity with our IT systems. And as you can well imagine, there may well be some people who may not be so interested in the integrity of Parliament. And so we have to make sure that whatever system we put in place, Mitch, is absolutely, not going to put us at any risk of any sort of cyber interference or anything else along those lines. Australians have got to have full confidence in our democracy, and that includes in the way in which Parliament is conducted.
And I saw a tweet from you this morning about the return time for the tests. A lot of people are saying it's taking 5 to 6 days to get a coronavirus test result back, which is clearly a deterrent if people have mild symptoms. If they know they'll go and get tested and be out of action for 5 to 6 days, that's a deterrent to getting tested, isn't it?
Well, the rules are very clear, though there has been a lot of issues with the messaging, and that's, in fact, what I have raised previously in relation to the very serious issues in Colac, where workers were tested, but they were told they could actually go out into the community and they didn't have to quarantine. And we now have around 90 active cases in Colac, which emanated from one person coming into the abattoir from Melbourne. So there has been some confusion, and we have raised those concerns, not just on the testing, but particularly on the contact tracing. And of course, we know there's been a lot of discussion about the hotel quarantine breakdown, and the evidence suggests, and the continuing evidence suggests, Mitch, is that all active cases in Victoria in the second wave emanated from the very serious breakdown of protocols with hotel quarantine. And the state government obviously has many questions to answer in that respect.
And I've read online people say, well, but the Ruby Princess, the federal government was responsible maybe in part for that. And also people saying, doesn't the federal government have responsibility for quarantine? Your response?
Well, that's just not true. So what you've read online, Mitch, is just not the case. State and territory governments are responsible for the health of their residents, and they have clear health constitutional responsibilities. So we have been working, and as you know, we have been working hand in glove with all state and territory governments, including Victoria, providing the most incredible amount of economic support, in excess now of $300 billion. The states, by comparison, collectively have provided some $40 billion of economic support, and that's why we have called for the states and territories to step up. But every step of the way, whether it's deploying our ADF personnel, whether it's the millions of masks that we are providing, whether it's the respiratory clinics around the nation, whether it's JobKeeper or JobSeeker, whatever it is, we have been there supporting Australians, led by our Prime Minister, at this incredibly difficult time for our nation.
And just more broadly, of course, Victoria, we're in quite a precarious position. We're in Stage 4 in Metropolitan Melbourne, Stage 3 down here. And in Geelong, we do seem to have quite a few cases. And as you said, we're right on the doorstep of Colac on one side. And, of course, to our north, we've got Wyndham, which has a very high number of cases. So the question is, will the restrictions help? Do you think they've gone far enough? Will we be able to get through this in 6 weeks' time and say we're now back to where we were a few months ago? Or do we need more restrictions? Or what do we need in Victoria?
Well, Mitch, the Victorian government has imposed Stage 4 restrictions in Melbourne and Stage 3 restrictions in regional Victoria. And, you know, we very reluctantly had to accept these restrictions. We know that this is causing a huge amount of pain in our community, including in regional Victoria, because we depend to a very large degree on... would you believe, Mitch? I think that might be the front door. I think the DHHS team is coming past to check that I'm still in quarantine.
Do you want to go and speak to them and we'll pause for a few moments?
Yeah, I probably will need to. But look, as I say, I am just urging all Victorians, including those living in the Geelong region, to do the right thing, to buckle down. We know how hard this is. We know the pressure this is imposing on families, on businesses, on young people, on older people, on the most vulnerable in our community. But together we can do this. I'm very confident we will get through this second wave, but I have to say we do need to step things up still considerably in Victoria, particularly on the contact tracing. The evidence is that the State Health Department is not contact tracing as it should. There are still mixed messages. I've seen it myself. For instance, when I first went into quarantine, I was told that I read the Department of Health and Human Services website, and I was told I could go out to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
There was no limitation on that. And, so that was just pretty, frankly, pretty shocking to me. Those rules have now been changed. But it is just an indication that we're still not where we need to be in Victoria. And so, as I say, let's all work on this together. Let's buckle down. Let's do what we need to do. And we will get through this.
Do you need to speak to DHHS or are you right?
Yes, the doorbell is going, so I'm probably going to have to go and answer the door.
All right. Do you want to ring back or is that a wrap?
I can do that.
All right. Can you just call me back on this number?
Thank you.
Local voices, local issues. You're listening to Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
We've got the Senator back, and Senator, it was DHHS at your door, was it?
Mitch, it actually wasn't. It was someone else.
Okay.
So I do apologise for that, but when you receive a knock at the door, being in quarantine, I am required to make sure that I let everyone know that I'm here and complying with all of the conditions.
Yes.
So I do apologise about that and to your listeners.
I was just saying, I was trying to think who it might have been other than DHHS, because I'm assuming travelling salespeople, the power company people, all of that is on hold. So I can't imagine anyone else would knock on your door in these times. But anyway.
Oh, well, look, I won't go into the details other than to say that... I'm safely at home in quarantine and continuing in quarantine until I head to Canberra.
Just a couple of things to finish off because we're just about out of time, but I wanted to ask about the Job Seeker, Job Keeper payment just to get some clarity on what's happening with that, given that Victoria's in now more stringent restrictions and clearly our economy down here will suffer and will need support.
Well, Mitch, as you know, we have announced an extension of JobKeeper, so another $15.6 billion. And this is primarily as a result of what has happened in Victoria and the impact that the Stage 4 restrictions are having in Melbourne. We are anticipating that a further 530,000 Victorians will be getting support from JobKeeper in the September quarter. That's up from 970,000 through to 1.5 million. And what we're doing is we're actually easing the eligibility criteria to make it easier for businesses to qualify for JobKeeper. So no longer do we require a turnover downturn in consecutive quarters. So just to cut to the chase, essentially from the end of September, a business will only have to show that they've had a downturn in the comparable period for that quarter in the previous year. So it just makes it easy to access JobKeeper. And of course, though, as we know, JobKeeper at its current rate will run through until the end of September. So we are providing the most incredible amount of economic support to the Australian community and particularly to Victorians at this very, very tough time. And I will say, Mitch, on that note, that includes support for mental health research, mental health services, incredible agencies like Headspace and Lifeline and Beyond Blue, because we recognise that people are under a lot of pressure. This is taking not just an economic toll, but a very serious emotional toll on the wellbeing of Victorians.
Absolutely. And just last of all, you've got a couple of local project updates for us. I believe there's some talk about swimming pools and roads. Do you want to quickly give us that information?
You look, absolutely. And can I, before I go on to that, can I just make the point, while we are talking a lot about mental health, we are really desperate for a prevention and recovery care facility for young people in our community. At the moment, we don't have those beds for young people who are in need of a greater level of care. They're in Ballarat and they're in Melbourne. But I have been calling on the Victorian government to provide a nominal amount of funding for these beds, and there's still no agreement to do so. And it is really concerning because we have had a spate of young teenagers who've tragically taken their own lives this year, and it is a critical need for our community. We have all of those services, Headspace and the like, but when teenagers and young people are in real trouble, they need a greater level of care, and that's why these parks beds are so critical. So I just wanted to, it really distresses me, Mitch, that we still haven't had this investment. A number of mothers have been calling out for this investment as well, who've been hit by this absolute tragedy, and we've just got to see some action. So look, I just want a couple of other quick things. We've announced more than $10 million for Black Spot Road funding, which is fabulous. So a lot of our funding programs are continuing to support the local economy, and in Corangamite, there are roads like the Mount Deneed Road, Port Arlington Road, the Surf Coast Highway and Reserve Road, which is a real black spot. And in the Corio electorate, about $2.28 million in a range of road upgrades, including, would you believe, the intersection of Bowen Heads Road and Mount Pleasant Road, and some work in the CBD. So that work is very important, work is continuing. And some other very good news also, we have learned that council will recommend that the Drysdale Sports Precinct be the location of the new North Ballarine Pool, backed by $10 million from the Morrison government. So I'm absolutely delighted that in partnership with the council, and no thanks to the Labor Party, frankly, which has not supported this project at all, and that's why I've called on Les and Evel to provide funding for a Stage 2 facility. Anyway, I'm absolutely delighted that it looks like that will be decided at council tomorrow night, along with some funding to support from council. So the bottom line is we're getting on with the job of governing, not just in relation to the pandemic, but in ensuring that we continue to drive important investment into our community, whether it be roads or vital community infrastructure.
Senator, thanks for your time, and enjoy the rest of your quarantine, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, great to talk to you, Mitch. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Senator Sarah Henderson, joining us there.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.